The German government announced yesterday that they would open a huge amount of information about the Holocaust, up to 50 million documents containing the details of what happened to more than 17 million people who were executed or sent into forced labor by the Nazis. The announcement ended the diplomatic dispute between the U.S. and Germany over the archives. Additionally, the implications it holds for those who study the Holocaust are tremendous. And the decision is potentially life-changing for families who are still searching for details on relatives who disappeared into the wave of Nazi terror. The announcement was made by Germany's Minister of Justice yesterday at a press conference held at the U.S. Holocaust Museum here in Washington, D.C. The director of the museum, Sarah Bloomfield, joins us from her office in Washington. Welcome to the program. Thank you so much for coming.
Oh, thank you for having me.
The museum has been petitioning to have access to these documents for how long now?
Well, I think we actually wrote our first letter about 20 years ago, but we really stepped up our efforts significantly in the last 2 years.
Let me step back up for a second. How did you know that those documents existed?
Well, everybody's known about the documents. The International Tracing Service was set up after the war under the auspices of the Red Cross to help the millions of displaced people and the people who had lost family members trace family and find out the fates of loved ones who, of course, were not traceable but who had perished. And it's been performing that humanitarian service ever since. But there were two problems. One is it was never available for anyone to go in. You had to send in your request as a survivor or as a family member, and you would wait often a couple of years to get information, and sometimes it was incorrect. Some people never heard. And the second thing is that no Holocaust scholars had any access whatsoever.
Why did it take so long?
Well,
my question wasn't clear. Why did it take so long to get information back?
Oh, because, first of all, the size of the archive is immense, and the number of requests were substantial, and it takes a while to do the research on these collections. And as you can imagine, before there were computers, being able to cross-reference, I mean, it was a very time-consuming process. The other thing that happened was that with the fall of the Soviet Union, a lot of people who'd been trapped behind the Iron Curtain, whether they were Jews who had been in camps or slave laborers, most of whom were not Jewish, had no possibility to write to the tracing service for this information. And you may recall that in the last several years, there were a lot of settlements with Holocaust survivors and slave laborers, and all those individuals needed to prove that they were in a camp or in a slave labor camp. So they were writing en masse to the International Tracing Service for that information to make those claims.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Ms. Bloomfield, why do you think that Germans were so resistant until now, and what finally ended this dispute?
Well, Germany has very different rules about data protection and privacy than we do in the United States. So there was a big cultural gap there. But we had been working with them very intensively at the 60th anniversary of the end of the war. We went to the Germans and said, look, you know, it is time. Chancellor Schroeder was at the commemorations of the end of the war, and it was time to really move on. And all the issues needed to be resolved. We had to do this for survivors that were at the end of their lives, give them this last little bit of information and closure if we could. And I also made the case very strongly that with anti-Semitism on the rise, even in the lands of the Holocaust and Holocaust denial increasing, there could not be a more important time to open this archive.
What will happen now? How will one be able to access these materials in a way that you were not able to do before?
Right. And it won't happen immediately because we do have a little more diplomatic dancing here. We have to get all 11 nations to agree. We have to amend an archive. We have to amend an agreement. We have to send in some scholars to assess the situation. But what we hope will happen is that copies of these records will be available at our museum and other major Holocaust centers in the world where a survivor or family member could come in and actually do the research themselves, or we could help them do the research. That means they could find their information in a matter of days rather than years.
As you mentioned earlier, the youngest Holocaust survivors are now in their 70s, and it's a last chance
right.
for many of them to find out what happened
right.
to siblings and relatives and parents. But can I ask you, is there any way you could envision a scenario where the information contained would not be welcomed, or that it would be further traumatizing to people who have already suffered a very great deal?
Well, this is only for people who choose to seek the information. All the survivors we're dealing with are telling us that it's wonderful to have it opened, that so many of them. I had one write me recently that said, you know, he waited years to get information. It was incorrect when he finally got it. He knew that from what they had said. And I think that, you know, for people who are not sure what date a loved one died, exactly where or under what circumstances, I think that's very important information to have.
So I take that from your answer that people who have perhaps already accessed the archive might benefit from looking at the information again. There might
exactly.
be new information.
Exactly. And it's going to this is all about places, names, and dates. It's going to be able for survivors or scholars to connect dots and fill in gaps about the history in ways that we never could.
You mentioned earlier that you think that this has implications for Holocaust deniers. Talk a little bit more about that, if you would.
Well, not necessarily for the deniers. People who deny the Holocaust, it's just frankly another form of anti-Semitism. But I think for the survivors, the kind of reassurance for them is very important. Of course, their biggest fear is that, you know, in 25 years, you know, there won't be recollection, remembrance that this happened. So for them to know that, you know, that this sheerly massive archive of up to 50 million pages of information is now going to be open. For them, it's a great symbol that, indeed, the evidence of the crime will still be there.
For you, this must be a very great personal as well as professional triumph. You've worked on this for a very long time.
It is. It really is. I've had a lot of wonderful moments in my career, but to do something to honor the dead, to help the living, and to support the future is a special opportunity.
Forgive me that I don't know this, but are there family members or someone whom you will be seeking information about?
Actually not. Actually, I'm very fortunate. My family came to the United States in the 19th century.
This is a very interesting development. And oh, finally, last question. We only have a couple of seconds, but will scholars other than family members, will be able to have access to these archives as well? That one need not be a direct survivor
yes,
to have access now?
Yes, scholars
mm-hmm.
will definitely have access, and it will be very important for their work.
Thank you so much, Sarah Bloomfield.
Thank you.
She's director of the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum. She joined us from her office in Washington, D.C. Thank you so much for talking with us. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin.